On this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, we take the elevator beneath the Triskelion and look for Christian themes in Captain America, the Winter Soldier. What can we learn from S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra's solution to the world's depravity? Are they acting in spirit and in truth like Captain America? All that and more in 3, 2, 1. Come on in, admission is free, grab a bowl of popcorn, extra butter, of course, and find a seat smack dab in the middle. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 44. I'm Michael.
And I'm Brendan.
Join us, and together we'll dig deeper into the silver screen classics of yesteryear, as well as the box office hits of today. We'll take a closer look at the stories they tell and see if we find the face of Jesus looking back. We're going to explore the deeper meanings of these films, their plots and their twists, the characters and their choices, and how we can relate them to the gospel of salvation and ultimately our Christian walk. You're tuned into Finding Christ in Cinema on the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
Let me start recording this on the video, and I was going to say that if you haven't tuned in for our pre-show video, which you can find it on gctnetwork.com/live. You miss a whole lot of fun that goes on when we turn on the camera for the first, you know, half hour before we go.
Yeah.
We start recording the podcast itself.
I learned a new word today.
You did. Hey, we don't need to share it with anybody. That's just our own. Hey, if they weren't here before the show started, they lose out.
You know what?
What?
You're right.
Okay, and I'm actually going to start reminding people how to catch us live in the studio here. Oh, but Brendan, we almost weren't able to broadcast live today.
Oh no, what happened?
We had this little old laptop that I used to have sitting here every week, and it's so that we can broadcast the video, which you're watching right now, and the audio to Mixlr has finally given up the ghost.
Oh. Man.
So I don't know right now what's going on with the video. You know, I didn't do a test to see what's coming through, so I don't know if you're going to hear any of the sound clips, sound bites coming in through it, and we'll just have to find out.
That's just as fascinating as the first 89 times you told me that.
Okay, Emmett. The people listening to the show right now haven't heard any of this before, so wanted to remind everybody on that. So anyway, we're going to... I don't know. I need to get another computer in here, and a lot of prayers about that. What have you been doing this past week, Brendan?
A whole heap.
Why does it seem like such a long time since we were in the studio? Does it seem that way to you?
It kind of does. I don't know why.
Man, but it's been a long week.
I don't know. I look forward to the drive.
Yeah. What are you reading?
On the way here, I finished up Pilgrim's Progress.
Okay, yes. Max McLean.
Yeah, Max McLean of the Fellowship of Performing Arts. His read version.
Yes,
his Audible version. Although he didn't make it for Audible, he did it himself and then Audible.
The audiobook version.
There you go. Hey, way to be concise.
Yes,
his version. Oh, so good. And then, like, the story itself, as told through the dream of the. Of the narrator of the story.
The dreamer.
Yeah, the dreamer. Yeah.
Well, now the translation that Max used is probably one of the most modern translations. It's different than that book that you have right there.
Yes, I noticed.
And but the tone and tenor and flow of it is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
Irregardless, that's not a word. Don't say that. Regardless of the fact that it is actually Max McLean narrating it. I mean, he just takes it to the next level. But even if you were to sit down and read that contemporary translation, I think that it would be thoroughly enjoyable. Let's talk about the book. A favorite part, or?
Man, I don't know if it's my favorite part, but I think one of the most impactful parts was when Faithful died in Vanity Fair. Man, like that was so bad. And then Hopeful comes along and helps Christian out, and then helps Christian complete the journey. That that was just really cool. And then, of course, we were kind of talking before the show. They meet Ignorance.
Yeah.
And then Ignorance, that character was convicting in some points.
Right.
So that's like... This is going to take more than one reading.
Oh, yeah. Oh so, definitely. Yeah. It's got to be on a constant reading list. That's like, okay, I'll revisit that this month every year or this, you know, this particular week each year. It's so powerfully written, so simple. I mean, you read it and go, okay, really simple, but it just hits you all along the way. Really, the earliest for me is when Christian... You know, he goes off on the pawpaw patch and goes to Legolas. You know, he's going to make his way.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
He's turned off the path.
And then tries to go up that mountain.
Right. And then when he encounters Evangelist again, and Evangelist says, "What are you doing?
Yeah.
What is wrong with you? And where are you going? You need to get back over there. What happened?" Mm-hmm. And he tells the story, and Christian, you know, turns on himself and says, basically, "What a creep I am. Do I have any hope? Do I have any hope?" And, you know, get back to the wicker gate. Will he let me in? And you know, gets there, says, "Sir, are you willing?" "Yes, I'm willing." Oh, that brings tears to my eyes.
Yeah.
Because that is, I mean, that's the words of Jesus. "Yes, I'm willing. You went off on the pawpaw patch, but I'm still here. Just come back to me." And that is so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And that kind of sentimentality, that kind of that attitude, if you can say that the Lord has an attitude, but that is so merciful that it makes you want to do what's right. Brendan, we don't need people thumping on the pulpit saying, "Yo, you're walking a razor's edge, buddy. You know, if you love the Lord, you know when you've goofed up." Just like Christian did. He despised himself for that. "But will he still accept me, even now? You know, will you let me in?" "Yes, I'm willing." Absolutely. I just love that. And I could read that over and over and over again and it have the same impact on me. What else? Anything else about the Pilgrim's Progress?
Yeah, just on the way over, the scene where Hopeful and Christian cross the river before the gate, that was powerful in and of itself.
Yeah.
But then when Ignorance tries to cross it, he uses the ferryman, Vain Hope. I think that's what it's called. Vain Hope or Vainglory.
Yeah.
He crosses it with ease, gets up to the gate, and then he realizes that he doesn't have that certificate that Hopeful and Christian and Faithful all had from the beginning of their pilgrimages.
Right.
And then once he realizes that he doesn't have that, the king tells the two glorious men, the two, you know, the bright shining white men, he tells them to bind up Ignorance and take him away. And where do they take him? They take him to that door in the side of the mountain that we learned about earlier, which is the way to hell.
And that
to me, that was powerful.
And that also is comes from that story. How did you get in here without wedding clothes? What are the wedding clothes? What is that certificate? What does that represent? You didn't come in here clothed in the blood of Christ.
The righteousness of that yes. Christ. Yeah.
You weren't clothed in Christ. Wow.
And we'll actually talk a little bit more about Pilgrim's Progress because it's going to tie in to my point with Captain America.
Yeah, see, that's the problem with Pilgrim's Progress. So, once you are familiar with it...
once you read it, you're going to realize, oh, man, this goes into everything.
No wonder it's the second best-selling book of all time.
Yeah.
Second only to God's book.
The Bible.
Yes.
That Bible, though.
Hey, here in Manchester, Tennessee, the Manchester Arts Center, three of my children are involved now in a production of Peter Pan. So we went there the other day for tryouts, and wow. Have you ever been there, Brendan?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That place is neat. Now, they wouldn't let me as a parent go in, you know, during the auditions.
Of course.
Yeah. So I didn't really get to see inside, but I got a little bit of a peek, and the stage mm-hmm. is really neat. And so looking forward to that, to see, you know, how involved the kids can be here. So hopefully now, as you are giving updates on things at the fly. I can give updates on things going on at Manchester Art Center.
Well, look at us being a little social bulletin board.
What else, Brendan?
Well, really quick before I get into any theater stuff, having finished Pilgrim's Progress, I've now moved on to another book called Misreading Scripture Through Western Eyes.
Oh.
Have you heard
of this? No, but I just telling me the topic. I'm very familiar with the topic. That's going to be an eye-opener.
Yeah, it is. I actually started this book on Tuesday before I had finished Pilgrim's Progress because I wanted Pilgrim's Progress to be fresh on my mind when I came here.
Right.
So, but after starting it, like you said, it's really eye-opening.
Who wrote this tome?
Well, nobody.
Oh, nobody?
Tome. Anyway, nobody that I've heard of before. E. Randolph Richards and Brandon J. O'Brien.
Okay. Is this a new book or?
Recently, yeah, within the past 5 years, I think.
All right. Yeah, that's a good topic. I mean, you're talking people in the Middle East, which includes the Holy Land. It's called the East for a reason, and they have a whole different way of thinking.
Yeah,
a different philosophy, a different way of processing, a different way of their culture is completely different. And we in America, I mean, hey, come on, God shed His grace on thee, right? We are the pinnacle, right? And I'm speaking facetiously if anybody is not aware. So we like to interpret history, scripture, and everything else through American 21st century eyeballs,
right?
And it doesn't work that way.
Can I give you the example that sets off?
Please.
The book? Okay, so let's look at the Revelation, Church of Laodicea. What's their biggest crime according to Jesus?
Tell us, Brendan.
That they're lukewarm.
Yeah.
Because you are neither hot nor cold.
I'll spit you out of my mouth.
Yes. Now we.
I like the King James spew.
Yeah. Now we as 21st century Christians, how do we interpret that? We interpret that as in, well, if you're not hot with a fiery passion for God, then you're cold and lukewarm, which are the same thing.
It's getting crazy over there.
There's a microphone over here. Our tendency is to lump lukewarm and cold in the same category as spiritually dead. However, apparently, this is how it was supposed to be understood according to these guys. Laodicea was in a specific geographic location in which they did not have any water locally. They had to outsource for water. They got their hot water from another city. I can't remember the name yet, but they got their cold water. No. They got their cold water from Colossae.
Okay.
So they had to funnel
that place is filled with Colossians.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. I heard there was a letter. Anyway. So they had to funnel in hot water and cold water, and they all had uses for both hot and cold water. They were in some way useful,
right,
both hot and cold. However, by the time the water got done traveling through the aqueducts, they were lukewarm and therefore useless.
Ah, there's nothing to do with it.
Yes. So the passage that we read says, you know, because you're lukewarm, I spew you out of my mouth. It's not because hot means spiritually on fire and cold means spiritually dead. It's because hot and cold both have their tendencies, but by the time they've traveled through the ways of the world, however you want to interpret this, they've lost their luster.
Huh.
So it's a different thing altogether.
And so therefore, that also ties into, let's make sure we are reading the text in context.
Yeah.
Hey, good little lesson there, Brendan. Snuck that right in. What else went going on? Any other updates?
Oh, man. So much theater. So much theater. Okay, so at the fly, of course, I've already said I have my assistant directing over there.
Right.
For this play. Then, after this play, we'll probably have quote-unquote auditions while this show is performing. But then, after that, I will be leading / facilitating a young adult theater program workshop.
Hey!
In which, idealistically, we will create a show from scratch.
Fun.
And put it up in May.
That's a good exercise, isn't it?
Yeah. Especially for kids who are tired of drama school programs.
What do you think? What's the number one thing that is designed to teach.
Which part?
Doing it that way. Workshop.
Just not being an actor. Learning that there's actually stuff to do backstage as well. Also, you can be a creative in your writing and the scene design, as well as being creative in the acting aspect and the directing aspect.
Is that kind of like building a well-rounded individual in the theater arts? Hey. That could be applicable to ministry as well.
Hey, couldn't it though? And then, right after that, that will be in the first weekend of May. The third weekend of May, we've already started. I'm helping out with the Harris Middle School drama program in Shelbyville.
Nice.
And we're doing one of those, you know, cheap, gaudy children's plays. This one's called Alice in Zombieland.
Oh, no.
What are you going to do?
No.
Exactly. And then, wait for it, after that, I'll be directing the children's play at the Fly.
Wow.
By myself.
You are a busy man.
Yeah. Hey, we're getting there.
Oh, my goodness. We better pick out some easy movies here, because I don't know if this was one of them. Are you ready?
You know, I think I am.
Take a nice relaxing afternoon at the movies?
Yeah, do it.
Most of the intelligence community doesn't believe he exists. The ones that do call him the Winter Soldier. He's a ghost. You'll never find him.
They joined SHIELD to protect people.
Captain, to build a better world, sometimes means tearing the old one down. And that makes enemies.
Just one step.
People are gonna die. I can't let that happen. Captain America needs my help.
When do we start?
We just did. The price of freedom is high. And it's a price I'm willing to pay.
You told me not to trust anyone. This is how it ends. Everything goes.
Looks like you're giving the orders now, Captain.
Damn right.
How do we know the good guys from the bad guys? If they're shooting at you, they're bad.
Yes.
In a big movie.
Yes.
This was a hard assignment this week for me. This movie is to me what comic book movies are supposed to be. You know why? Because this is like a comic book.
Yeah.
I mean, the story... Folks, if you aren't readers of comic books, you don't have any idea what comic books are like. They are great stories. Well, of course, there's some garbage out there. But, I mean, the big ones, the great ones, are great stories. Mm-hmm. And they're absolutely fun to follow along with. I have thousands of comic books, and I used to be nuts back when I was a single man and I was able to, you know, just throw away money on. I mean, I would go every week, every Friday. You know, most comic books have a release once a month,
right.
One a month. Some are biweekly. And so we collected so many different titles, my buddies and I, we would go every single Friday at lunchtime from work to our favorite comic book shop, and we would get our comics, you know, that I mean, the guy at this one comic book had ours all set aside. He knew we wanted, I mean, the binding had to be perfect. They had to be mint condition.
Yeah.
And you know, we developed that relationship. But I would also go and buy, when I was buying mine, I would buy a whole bunch of titles for my younger brother who was still in school. You know, I'd go, yeah, because I got him into comics. I was just funding his comic collection for quite a while. I mean, I like the Dark Knight movies and stuff, but I do think that they're a little bit too dark.
I can see that.
You know, yeah. this film shows the ugliness of the world, but without just depressing Dark Knight just depresses me. You know, that's really what it comes down to.
I will say I did not get that impression from the Dark Knight, but that's just me.
Well, that's it. But you see, you're young and jaded. I'm older and I'm a little more softer.
Forgive me for speaking.
But believe it or not, and the people that are my age, this reminds me of back when I was a kid and watching The Incredible Hulk with Lou Ferrigno and Bill Bixby. It reminds me of watching Wonder Woman TV show because the stories, you know, it's just, I mean, I don't know. Anyway, I don't know where I'm going with that. So I'll stop right now. But
it's a very nostalgic feeling for you.
It is. It is. Yeah. I mean, it really does. When I'm watching this film, especially, it's like I'm reading Captain America comics and whatnot. How about you?
Well, see, me, I didn't grow up reading comics. Mm-hmm. Like, I tried getting into it. I just couldn't get into it for some reason. I don't know. I remember I started off with Batman.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't get into it for some reason. So I didn't keep up with it. And now, here I am, you know, growing up, and all these comic book movies are coming out, and I fall into the traps like, oh, well, the movie's coming out, so why read the comic? You know?
Yeah.
But I will say that lately, movies have been having, like, a reversed impact on me, whereas with The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, I hadn't read the book first, but because I saw the movies, I wanted to read the books.
Yeah.
And maybe that might start with these new Marvel movies, the way they're being produced and executed.
Yeah.
With the way they're coming out, that might get me to start reading comics.
Well, especially because you can go and get a big old thick collection of a whole storyline. So if you want to, you know, read, you know, Age of Ultron or the Infinity Wars, you know, those things, you can get it in a cheap collection.
Yeah.
You know, and sit down and enjoy it. And it's a blast. But this movie was done so well. And when it came out, there was a lot of buzz from people saying best comic book movie ever. And I know that, you know, we can look at that statement and say, well, hold on a second. Let's settle down. But I can see why people say that about this film.
Yeah.
The storyline is amazing. Yeah. The intrigue and the drama and all the, you know, it's great tying in and everything. But I have to say something right off the bat. Robert Redford, okay, as Alexander Pierce.
Oh,
I'm going to admit something before you, before the good Lord, and before all of our listeners out there.
Gather around, children.
I have never been a Robert Redford fan. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. What's that other one?
The Natural.
You see, I don't watch sports movies.
He's got an Eastwood smile and a Robert Redford hair. Well, you ever heard that song?
No.
No? Coca-Cola cow?
No, I'm okay. Sorry.
All right.
But now I must recant. Because I'm repenting is what I'm doing here.
Oh.
And I'm changing my ways. I'm making a 180. I'm making a U-turn on the road of life.
You are turning back, yes. Oh man.
And so I'm going to, my next movie from him is going to be the recent one where he was shipwrecked out on his own on that sailboat. What was that called?
All Is Lost.
Yes, and that is streaming on Netflix. I'm going to watch it. I thought he did a fantastic job in this film. That guy's a good actor. He's not Sir Ian McKellen.
Ooh.
But he's a good actor.
We'll get to him in a little bit.
What do you think? Hashtag
real news.
Some standout things for you.
Well, really, I've always liked, and I've never been disappointed by Anthony Mackie.
Who?
Falcon. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
His
interaction,
yeah,
you know, that was great. Good stuff.
The opening sequence.
On your laptop?
You can tell these two are going to be,
yes,
you know, good buddies.
Yes.
And just the way he plays that, the way he reacts to Captain America.
Yep.
Speaking of which, old Chris, I forgot his last name.
Evans.
Evans, yes, I was scrolling down. Chris Evans as Captain America, Steve Rogers. He was good. It always amazes me whenever they show him as the pre-serum Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
That short little puny guy.
Yeah. They do that so well.
They do. And I think it was on some...
You know that's done with CGI.
Yes.
You understand that.
Yes.
But you have a complaint.
Okay. Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. Yes. That CGI was done well.
Okay.
That was done so well.
Uh-huh.
My complaint...
Uh-huh.
Is Peggy Carter's CGI.
What was wrong with that?
Did her face even move naturally for 1 second? No, it did not.
What?
It was almost as bad, if not just as bad, as Billy Connolly's CGI.
Oh, please.
And
no, come on. No way.
Yes, I am sorry.
No.
I'm sorry, but
Billy Connolly looked like a video game. Like an 8-bit video game.
What do you think Peggy Carter looked like in the bed?
Well, at first I thought that, you know, the first time that I watched it, I go, you know, that's kind of weird. Something's weird. But then, and that was months ago, and then this week as I watched it like 19 times trying to decide what I was going to talk about, each time I saw it, I go, yeah, that ain't bad. So are you saying that you are not going to employ CGI at the fly for the children's program?
No, you know, Michael, after heavy consideration, and believe me, we have weighed out the pros and cons. We have ultimately decided that it's just best not to use CGI.
Well, but then what are you going to do instead?
This thing called makeup.
Oh!
In fact, you could say that we are going to fard ourselves.
Hey! Now you gave away the secret word.
That's not a... What?
That was the secret word. Well, that's what I teased at the beginning of the show. We're trying to get people to tune in live.
Did I win a prize?
Oh, no. In fact, you can't.
Oh, man.
You know what? In fact...
It's stuff like this that gives me trust issues.
Okay, Nick Fury. Whatever.
Okay, hey, enough fun and games. You know what? Enough...
Well-mannered frivolity.
Let's get back to seriousness here.
Hey, you want to talk about seriousness? What about the path of the righteous man?
Oh, you know, okay, so did you notice it on the tombstone?
I did, but I wouldn't have noticed it...
If I didn't point it out?
No, you didn't point it out. Oh, you did in the show notes, but somebody else...
That was me!
No, that wasn't... That was somebody else.
It was me. Maybe somebody else in addition.
In addition.
After me. Because when I told you that, I said, hey, did you notice on the tombstone, the path? And that's Jules. That's thrown back to...
To Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction.
I could have... Okay, if it's you, so
it
be
was
it.
Me.
But I could have swore that it was FCC's very own John Carney.
Oh, well, maybe it was, in addition to
Something tells me that he also might have brought it up in, like, the chat wing.
No.
I don't think so.
That I said it because I was so pleased I caught that Easter egg. That I don't catch Easter eggs. I'm too worried. I'm too busy reading the closed caption at the bottom of the TV screen so I can hear what these people are saying.
Well, here's the thing. Well, then let me recant. I probably just created a false memory. So, my bad.
You're trying to block me out.
No,
You're trying to take credit from me.
Michael, don't.
I'm sad.
Michael.
Okay, but here's the thing, Brendan. It says right there on the tombstone, quote, the path of the righteous man, and gives Ezekiel 25:17. But here's the thing. The crux of it is if you read Ezekiel 25:17, especially in the New English translation, it says, this is God speaking, I will exact great vengeance on them with angry rebukes. Then they will know that I am the Lord when I exact my vengeance upon them. And this is what makes it the perfect Easter egg, because that's what his character, Jules, kept saying. That was part of his whole spiel throughout Pulp Fiction. The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides, right? He goes through that whole thing and then ends up with, I will exact. It's the perfect Easter egg. And I'm glad that I finally discovered it, probably along with everybody else. in the whole wide world except for you.
Except for me. But you know what I did discover, though?
What?
The soundtrack.
What about
by
it?
Henry Jackman. One of my favorite cinematic scores now. Okay. After rewatching the movie,
yeah.
I love
the fanfares and
yes.
The, yeah.
I specifically, and I thought about it, specifically, I love it when there's the string ensemble providing almost the rhythmic
right.
Beat to it. Now there's also a percussion set or a section, and they've got the timpani rolls and whatnot. But with the strings moving at a fast pace, and then overcome with the French horn,
yeah,
and the trumpets,
it's great.
The brass, I love it,
no doubt about it.
Yeah,
no doubt about it. And speaking of soundtracks. This is a theme to the Gary Show, the theme to the Gary Shandling Show. Gary called me up and asked if I would write his theme song. Gary
now,
Shandling.
What are you talking about?
Gary Shandling, the guy who's playing the senator or whatever. It's a Hell Hydra. He's a great...
Oh, is that who that was?
Yes.
See, I was watching it with my dad, and he's like, wait a minute, I know that guy.
Now we're almost halfway finished. How do you like it so far? The theme to the Gary Shandling Show. Okay. Anyway, before you were even born.
I'll just have to tell my dad that it's Gary Shandling.
There you go. Okay, well, here's the great thing about Gary Shandling's show was on Fox when Fox first turned into a network. And we're going to talk more about that next week, I have a feeling. Anyway, so Gary Shandling's show was really the first show about nothing. He beat your beloved,
whoa.
Your sainted.
Whoa.
Okay, this
whoa,
guy would say.
Now that is a bold statement,
oh,
sir.
Okay. On Gary Shandling show, he would say, I think I'll fly to so such and such place. And the next scene, you see a little, like those little wooden airplanes that you get at the supermarket with a wind-up rubber band propeller. And then it shoots it, and he's inside it. flying somewhere on his little.
Okay, that is a show about nothing.
Yes, absolutely. All right, so enough fun and frivolity and well-mannered frivolity and whatever Maggie Smith says about us. Let's hop into it. How can we help others use this film to preach the gospel? Because, I watched it a bunch of times this week, and said there's too much
yeah.
in here. There is too much for using... to spread the gospel. What did you focus on?
Well, what I felt drawn to the most.
The path of the righteous man? Be set on also. Okay.
No, that's okay. Instead of that, I'm going to be talking about S.H.I.E.L.D., Hydra, and the wrong response to depravity.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
That sounds big.
Hey, it kind of is. Okay, so we find out through the film that first, as you've already pointed out, Nick Fury has some trust issues.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, he pointed it out himself.
It's stuff like this that gives me trust issues.
But specifically, his trust issues, I would say transcend. But they don't really necessarily go up. They just go deep, further down.
So look in the wrong direction?
Into the wrong direction.
Oh,
okay. And we can actually hear that in this in the first clip.
You know, they used to play music.
Yeah. My grandfather operated one of these things for 40 years. My granddad worked in a nice building. Got good tips. He'd walk home every night, a roll of one stuffed in his lunch bag. He'd say hi. People would say hi back. Time went on, neighborhood got rougher. He'd say hi, they'd say keep on stepping. Granddad got the grip in that lunch bag a little tighter.
You ever get mugged?
Every week some punk would say, what's in the bag?
What would he do?
He'd show them. Bunch of crumpled ones and a loaded 22 Magnum. Hey, Granddad loved people. But he didn't trust him very much. Yeah, I know. They're a little bit bigger than a 22.
That's some of that awesome soundtrack
oh,
you're
man.
Talking about.
Yes, it was. And I wish I would have gone up to the next note. But hey, it's fine. Okay, so Granddad loved people, but he didn't trust them very much. And then he's giving this monologue going down the elevator. And then once that fanfare starts to build up, that's when Steve Rogers turns around and he sees what's going on. He sees what the Shield's been hiding this whole time.
You think Granddad didn't trust anybody?
Yeah, and he says, and yeah, I know it's not necessarily a 22 Magnum. He's got the three helicarriers.
Yeah.
that will carry out Project Insight.
Which is, or do we need to talk about that?
Well, actually, let's see.
I mean, because that is a scary operation that's going on. It really is. Like you said, it's going in the opposite direction, you know, because they're wanting to punish people that haven't done anything yet.
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, that kind of ties into the third sound clip. Let's go ahead and play it.
Okay.
The third one.
Here we go. Right over here.
The 21st century is a digital book. Zola taught Hydra how to read it. Your bank records, medical histories, voting patterns, emails, phone calls, your damn SAT scores. Zola's algorithm evaluates people's past to predict their future.
What then?
Oh my God, Pierce is gonna kill me.
What then?
Then the inside helicarrier scratched people off the list. A few million at a time.
So that's the revelation as to what Project Insight really does. It evaluates people's past to predict their future. And not only predict, like Sitwell's character doesn't say this, but it not only predicts their future, but it also, like you said, punishes them for stuff they haven't
even
done.
Well, that's not what S.H.I.E.L.D. is wanting to do. How did this get twisted around?
Well, Michael, now would be a good time to bring in clip two, because we realize that S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore. S.H.I.E.L.D. has actually been infiltrated by Hydra.
The Red Skull.
Hydra was founded on the belief that humanity could not be trusted with its own freedom. What we did not realize was that if you try to take that freedom, they resist. The war taught us much. Humanity needed to surrender its freedom willingly.
Well, oh man, so that's Zola, the Swiss.
Yeah, he makes that clear.
Correction, I am Swiss.
He does great on that accent. Yeah. Too.
So that's him assessing what Hydra was founded on. Hydra was founded on the belief that humanity couldn't, like you said, couldn't save itself, and that it wasn't ready for the freedom that it thought it already had.
We are clicking along right together. Wait till we get to my discussion.
See, you say that.
Well, it only took a year, Brendan, for us to coalesce.
Do this. Yeah,
yes.
Okay. So anyway, now what this clip didn't mention is that what we've already alluded to, that Hydra has been growing within S.H.I.E.L.D. After Captain America, in Captain America: First Avenger, he destroys the Red Skull,
yes,
the person,
yes.
But that's the thing about Hydra: cut off one head, two more will grow.
In fact, S.H.I.E.L.D. wasn't even around until after,
yeah.
Because Agent Carter, Tony Stark's dad, and others started S.H.I.E.L.D. And right then, right at the beginning, they opened up the door.
Say, come on, because man. They recruited,
yeah,
Zola.
Yeah,
they recruited him, and I love the way he describes it. He says, and Hydra grew as a beautiful parasite within, yeah, S.H.I.E.L.D. And that's basically what it was. And this parasite has culminated into your favorite character, Alexander Pierce.
What?
Because he's leading this crusade with Hydra. And as we heard Sitwell explain on the roof. On the what?
Up on the roof?
The roof. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. We heard him explain that this is Project Insight's duty to scratch people off the list that might be a threat to Hydra. Of course, things are so cattywampus that we don't know really who to trust. However, first I want to look at John 15.
Okay.
This one kind of hit me last night during youth group. But in John 15, Jesus, you know, he's in the upper room.
Right.
He's talking to the disciples. He is he's explaining what it means to be a friend. Then he also explains what it means, why he no longer calls them slaves. Well, he says, starting in verse 15, I no longer call you slaves because the slave does not understand what his master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have revealed to you everything I've heard from my Father. That I can essentially link to Nick Fury, because Nick Fury is confiding in Captain America.
Right.
He's confiding in the Black Widow, Natasha. He eventually confides in Agent Hill. He confides people, and he wants this trust. Even though they're going after the same thing Hydra is, there's just something different about it. It's almost like they're operating out of love instead of operating out of fear.
Right, right.
And that's what sets them apart. So this ties into depravity.
Oh.
So, okay. So whipping out
Let's bring in Paul Bunyan, shall we?
No, not Paul Bunyan. John Bunyan.
Yeah, John Bunyan. Sorry.
John Bunyan. John Bunyan soup.
Yes.
Okay. We're talking about depravity, and Christian says to Hopeful, why, what was it that brought your sins to mind? AKA, what was it that made you think of your depravity? What made you think of how unworthy you were to be saved? And Hopeful says, oh, many things, such as if I did but meet a good man in the streets, or two, if I had heard any read in the Bible, or three, if my head did begin to ache, or four, if I were told that some of my neighbors were sick, or if I heard the bell toll for someone who had died, or six, if I thought of dying myself, or seven, if I had heard that sudden death happened to others, but especially eight, when I thought of myself and that I must quickly come to judgment. All these things reminded Hopeful of his own depravity.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I lost your bookmark.
Don't worry about that. We're doing a show.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it didn't take that to get S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra to realize the depravity of man. It took blood being spilt over mistrust. It took all these all this war going on. And then Hydra eventually said, you know what? We're just going to beat humanity to the punch. And even as Steve Rogers describes it, when he first hears of it, he says, pointing a gun to everyone's head and calling it protection isn't protection. That's fear.
Right.
Yeah. So here's my quick little discussion question for you.
Okay.
Is depravity a side effect of free will?
Oh, yes.
Oh, do tell.
Well, how do you want me to expound on that? Are you expecting me to expand on it through my point?
If that's what you feel led to do, then
well,
by
let's
means.
See if let's see if we can find that in here. You said that this was a story about Hydra and S.H.I.E.L.D. and
the wrong response.
Okay, yeah. I say that this is the story of Hydra and S.H.I.E.L.D. or Judaism versus the Samaritan religion.
Ooh.
Oh goodness! Oh,
what?
Well, this is Captain America: The Winter Soldier. And the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth. Brendan, one of my favorite passages in the Bible. If not my favorite passage. No, Brendan, it's not the book of Isaiah. That's my favorite book. Okay,
I didn't say that.
That is my favorite book. But
I didn't say that on this episode.
Ian, no, you didn't, but you said it on Facebook. My favorite passage, I believe, in all of the Bible is John chapter 4. Specifically, verses 3 through 30, the story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. Oh, it is so beautiful. And so, and I'm going to try not to dwell on that too much. Hopefully you, some of the beauty that I love of it will come through in my little explanation or my drawing out of Captain America, the Winter Soldier. This is a story, Brendan, of Nick Fury and Alexander Pierce. To me, that's what this movie is.
Yeah.
It is Nick Fury versus Alexander Pierce.
Nick Fury as the figurehead for S.H.I.E.L.D. and Pierce as the figurehead for Hydra.
Two men representing two paradigms or philosophies on how to cure the world's ills. You know what that is? That's a shadow. It's really a reversal of religion. How to cure the world's ills, because that implies something. It implies action. It is a religion as described by James. James chapter 1, verse 27, another one of my very favorite passages. Why? Because he tells us what religion is. The Greek word is threskeia, and basically it means worship. The word religion means worship, especially external worship. Well, what does that mean? That which consists of ceremonies. It is demonstrative, so that way you can go to your friend and say, do these things, and that is religion. It's demonstrative. It is ceremonial. It's external. People can see it in action. You can demonstrate it. It is what we would also call ceremonial worship. Go through these steps, and you are worshiping God.
Now, you mean like sing this one song and then have a prayer and then sing another song. Listen for the Bible reading and then sing another song.
James is kind enough to tell us exactly what that is.
Oh, man.
And that is visiting widows and orphans, doing for other people. And it really harkens back to his big brother saying, I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was naked, I was in prison.
I was sick.
You didn't visit me?
Yeah.
When, Lord? When did we see you like that? Because you didn't do it to the least of these, my brothers. You didn't do it to me. That's what religion is. You want to talk about religion. You want to talk about worship. Worship can only be, according to the Bible, in the New Testament, according to James, can only be demonstrated in doing unto the least of these. Wow. It says nothing in there about showing up on a Sunday morning,
what?
Sitting in a pew behind somebody looking at the back of their head all day while you are observing things that are going on. Now, don't mishear me. Don't mistake me. Dear listeners, we are instructed to gather with the saints.
Yeah.
But why? Why? So that you don't go to hell? No. So that you can lift one another up,
edify,
you can edify, yes. Encourage. Sometimes people need to be rebuked about things. Being together, growing together, being recharged together, celebrating your salvation in Jesus, so then you can go out into the world and worship God by doing unto others. That's it, okay? Mm. We can argue about that, but I'm not going to change my mind on it. The Bible's pretty clear on what religion is. And these guys are performing their religious duties according to their paradigms. What is a paradigm?
It's a way of operating.
It's a system, right?
Yeah, it's like a code of ethics.
Yes,
yeah.
It's how you operate in life. Yeah, your ethics, what directs you to do what you're going to do, mm-hmm. which is your religious... You know,
there you go.
Religious action. So let me get back. Boy, I just went off on a little tangent. But see, here's the problem, is that Pierce is completely off his nut. He's not even playing the correct game, Brendan. Mm. It's like putting an MMA, a mixed martial arts fighter guy. You know, they do those Ultimate Warrior, whatever it's called. I don't watch those kinds of things. But like having one of those guys turn loose on a baseball umpire and whap, you know. And you're not at the right game.
Oh, man.
So anyway, but here's the Steve Rogers comes as the Christ figure and reveals a mystery to Nick Fury, just as Jesus did to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Only, see, here's where this little parallel breaks down a little bit, because now Nick Fury isn't the Samaritan. He's more of the Israelite. He's the Jew.
He's the firstborn.
Yes, yes. And he, because he should have known God's heart. He was God's people, the Jews. But the Samaritans, which would, you know, be everybody else, but in this case, I guess, would be Pierce, they didn't know Yahweh. They didn't, because what they had known, they lost, and then the rest, they forgot and goofed up. And things got changed around. You'd have to study the history of the Samaritan people in order to really get a full grasp as to why. But they didn't know anything about Yahweh. Where am I going? Anyway, regardless, both are operating under law.
Mm-hmm.
One is operating under the law,
yeah,
and one is operating under their own law, which is which? I'd say that Pierce is, you know, Hydra is operating under their own law, right? They've made it up.
Yeah, this is them acting of themselves.
Yes, which gets back to your point about Nick Fury. He thinks he's doing the right thing, and for the most part, he's the spirit is right. He's just going in the wrong direction.
Yeah,
as pointed out by Captain America, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, that's not freedom. That's not freedom. But anyway, so you have these two. Different philosophies, these two different paradigms, these two different religions. And just as the woman at the well, you know, said to Jesus, hey, our ancestors say, our fathers say we worship God in this mountain, but you Jews, you say that you worship God in Jerusalem there, you know, and Jesus says, well, let's listen to what Steve Rogers has to say about that. Captain America, when they are having their meeting, what are we going to do now? And S.H.I.E.L.D. or Nick Fury, and you know, he has those little cards that they got to switch out in those.
Oh, the little microchips.
Right, that they got to switch out in order to stop this mayhem, this destruction.
Yes.
And what are we going to do? Well, he goes on.
We have to assume everyone aboard those carriers is Hydra. We have to get past them, insert these server blades, and maybe we can salvage what's left.
We're not salvaging anything. We're not just taking down the carriers, Nick. We're taking down S.H.I.E.L.D.
S.H.I.E.L.D. had nothing to do with it.
You gave me this mission. This is how it ends. S.H.I.E.L.D.'s been compromised. You said so yourself. Hydra grew right under your nose and nobody noticed.
Why do you think we're meeting in this cave? I noticed.
How many paid the price before you did?
Look, I didn't know about Barnes.
Even if you had, would you have told me? Or would you have compartmentalized that too? S.H.I.E.L.D., Hydra. It all goes.
He's right.
Don't look at me. I do what he does, just slower.
Well. Looks like you're giving the orders now, Captain.
Yeah. And Jesus is giving the orders now. And he starts with the Samaritan people right here at this well, revealing himself to this woman, a Samaritan woman that he had a date with even before he created the universe. That's why this passage is so important on so many different levels. But so tying it in back again to Nick Fury and Alexander Pierce, they're both operating under law. They're both wrong. They're both missing it. But it doesn't matter anymore, Brendan. It doesn't matter because Jesus, or here, Captain America, is leveling the playing field.
Mm-hmm.
They're both coming down. They are both coming down. Something better. There's something better out there. And what he did, levels that playing field. He gave hope to the Samaritan woman. Jesus did. He fixed the broken relationship she has with God. I mean, after all, she's talking with God right now at the well.
Yeah.
They're in relationship. He brings her right back in. Mm-hmm. The God of the universe came to visit her at a well in a country that he wasn't supposed to set foot in as a good Jewish boy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And he brings her salvation. Light in darkness. as the Old Testament prophesied over and over again. And he gives us the same, Brendan, when he said, here's your key text, everybody, John chapter 4, verse 23. I like it in the New Living Translation. But the time is coming, Jesus said. Indeed, it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. That's why I'm here right now, Samaritan lady, because the Father is looking for you. And so this paradigm, the old order, the old religious ways, the law was good. The law, capital, was good.
Mm-hmm.
It was good at condemning people to death.
It was good at showing them mm-hmm. their depravity.
Right. Which is what you pointed out in here, having to do with depravity. But the law was good. Far be it from me to insinuate that it wasn't. It was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect at condemning people to death. But now comes Jesus, and he has something much better. And that is to give us the ability. We don't need Hydra. We don't need S.H.I.E.L.D. What we do is we worship now in spirit and in truth, and everything else will fall underneath that umbrella. Brendan, do you have any questions or comments about that?
Well, I got to throw in my key text.
Please do.
Oh, man. So we're looking at Ephesians chapter 2. And really, verses 1 through 10, I'm just going to include that whole passage. But specifically, verse 1 sets it up. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. Once you were dead because of your depravity. Once you were dead because you were under the law that showed you the law showed you that you couldn't keep up with it, because it was so strict and it was so binding. You were dead because you were, and once you realized that, you realized you had no hope. Until, key text, verse 8,
mm-hmm.
God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this because it is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for good things we have done, Brendan's parentheses right here, according to the law that pointed to our own depravity. That's not a reward for the good things we've done, so no one can boast about it. But instead, and this is where I just break off. Instead, it is, again, through the grace that we have been saved.
Yes. Amen.
Because we believed.
Amen. Now, this movie was too big. Too big. So I have an addendum.
Oh, man.
I have to add to it. And this is going to piggyback off of your key text. Oh, right. It all boils down to this. The ultimate point, Brendan, the world is in such bad shape. It mm-hmm. has been.
Yeah.
It has been since the fall. Such bad shape that it needs superheroes. It needs superheroes to give hope to the despairing, to fix its brokenness, and to save it. Of course, world is a euphemism for mankind, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one of God, he is the only superhero. Because it was in that description that I gave. Hope, fix the broken, and to save it is exactly what I said that he did for the Samaritan woman. Brought her hope, brought her into a relationship, saves her. That's what a superhero does. But this superhero, Captain America, also exemplifies the real superhero in another way, because as John in the spirit in Revelation, well, it's chapter 5, he was told, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah has conquered. Strong words. The lion has conquered. Yet when John looked, Brendan, what did he see? He saw standing in the middle of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the middle of the elders, a lamb that appeared to have been killed. That's what the lamb looked like. This lion of the tribe of Judah who conquers looks like a lamb that has been killed. And that takes us right to the end, to the big battle between Steve and Bucky. And what happens there at the end? Steve throws down his shield.
Because I'm with you to the end of the line.
I'm not going to fight you. I'm with you till the end of the line. Now watch this. God is good. How he provided for this turn. I'm with you until the end. What does Jesus say in Matthew chapter 28 in the second part of verse 20?
It says, I'm with you till the end of the age.
Yep. I am with you until the end. That's the lamb. And that also happens to be part of the MO here at the Great Commission Transmission Network, right? Mm-hmm. We can do these things because this superhero that we are wanting to help you share with all your friends and your loved ones, this superhero is a lion and he conquers. But at the same time, you look at him and you can see a dead lamb. Because he, much like Steve Rogers, allowing Bucky to beat him, because he throws down that shield and Bucky mars his face. Now, of course, Jesus, the Bible is specific to point out that he was marred beyond, you wouldn't know that he was a man to look at him. He was a pulp, a bloody pulp. And even then, I'm doing this. I'm sacrificing myself because I am with you until the end. That's that hope that Jesus brought to the Samaritan woman. That is the hope that Steve Rogers, Captain America, is bringing to the world in saying we are doing away with both SHIELD and Hydra. They're both coming down. We've got something better coming. That's why I love these superhero movies so much. Oh, now, do you have any questions, comments, piggybacks, editorials, off the wall remarks?
No, but I'm glad you brought up the whole Bucky thing at the end, that last scene.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Bucky is basically the figurehead of, well, okay, I said earlier Pierce was the figurehead. Bucky is actually the figurehead. Pierce will be the captain.
Yeah.
And Pierce is leading Bucky to do what he's doing, and he's, you know, he's brainwashing him, whatever he's doing in that underground cellar.
Yeah.
And Bucky doesn't even recognize his own best friend, even when he's punching his face in.
Yeah.
And Steve says something like, but you're my friend. And then Bucky returns with, well, you're my mission.
Yeah.
That's when he punches him in. And just to go further with that scene, he rears back for that one last punch. And then Steve says, then finish it.
Right, right.
Because I'm with you to the end of the line. Oh,
Bucky is broken.
Yeah.
And that's what Jesus came to fix. And that's what Captain America is coming to fix. Right?
Man.
What did Jesus say? You know, one would scarcely die for someone else, you know, or one's not going to die for somebody else. He would scarcely die for a good man, right? Mm-hmm. But while we were yet sinners, Christ came and died for us. He became that lamb that we can see, that dead lamb, that slaughtered lamb. And that's just ties in. Superhero movies and Jesus go hand in hand.
Man, the feels.
Especially the one feels. Such as this. How about some feedback, Mr. Brendan Taylor?
Well, obviously, we got to go to Ron's Red Oak Treehouse.
Yes! Oh, finally! Oh, whoops. Oh, I'm laughing with joy as the kids are sleeping. Okay, yes.
So Ron sent us an email.
Yeah.
After last week's episode on Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
My treasured friends.
Aww.
He begins. I have so very much enjoyed the Lord of the Rings podcast you have done. I am overwhelmed and astonished at all you did with those movies.
Mm-hmm.
Being something of a fan of the genre myself, I can say with all honesty that you did the movies justice like no other podcast.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow. Whoa. Did you hear that, honey?
And I'm over here like, but I just got started. to me, this was the epitome of what FCC is about, as you have used something of this world to help me understand the spiritual better. Amen.
Yes. Hey,
you have also given me some tools to share the gospel with some people who will never read a Bible, but are more than willing to talk movies. God bless you, my brothers. I mean, God bless you too.
Ron. Yeah, right back at you,
man. As far as podcast length goes, I would not bridle you with while you are threshing. So preach yes. on and unplug the clock.
We're oxes here. Do not muzzle the ox while he's threshing.
I told you he was tricksy.
This is the Lord's time, and that's all that matters.
Amen.
In fact, the longer the episode, the better. Parentheses, my patience grew 3 sizes.
Wow! That is a turning point.
Woo! You guys have hit the ball out of the park and beyond the city limits once again. A short comment on Guardians of the Galaxy. Parentheses, hashtag, why didn't I say hashtag? Parentheses written before I could finish the podcast tonight. In parentheses, I liken the Guardians to Israel in Deuteronomy 7 verses 7 and 8, and of course, 9.
Yeah, I didn't choose you guys because you were a great people. Anything special that you did, you know, that's what that passage is.
Well, I think he gets to that.
Oh.
Israel was not numerous or good, but God showed his love for them in spite of who they were. The Guardians are a messed up bunch too. But in the end, great things were done, and they became fit vessels. Especially when you see the Infinity Stone as being like the Paraclete. Oh.
Ah.
Oh, there's that word again. As its power flowed through them and made them the heroes for such a time as that.
Nice.
Oh, man. That's good. Kind of reminds me of the opening of the Ark of the Covenant. Only now we have access to and fellowship with God, and he fills us with his Spirit.
Preach on.
Thanks for all you do serving the kingdom. Ron of the Red Oaks. P.S. Potatoes has outstripped all other sound bites as my favorite now.
Sentimental hogwash.
Oh, man. That was a great letter, and that is so encouraging.
We can't stop now.
No. Oh, you want to keep going?
Yeah,
hey, okay.
We got some Twitter back.
Yes, we did.
Twitter feed.
Long Hair Rocks via Twitter. Tweeted at us at Christ in Cinema. Can you please do one on Christian themes in Rise of the Guardians? Brendan, can we?
I mean, we can.
Will we?
We have to find out when we're going to do that.
Did you put it on the list?
I did.
All right.
It is on the... Kids, settle down. Settle down. But yes, it is on...
Oh.
The list!
So yeah, we'll get to that one as soon as we can. I forgot which one that is. Is that with all the like the fairy tale creatures or something?
Let me check.
Right, or that's not the one with the owls, is it? No, that's Guardians of Gahul or something, is it?
Hold on.
Rise of the Guardians.
We're looking at this right now.
We will do our research and produce the show on the fly. The Guardians of the Galaxy. Oh, wait, no, we already did that.
No, we already did that one.
What's this one?
I don't want the YouTube video.
Rise of the Guardians of the Galaxy, is it not?
Yes. Yeah. Wait, no, huh?
What?
Yes, I'm seeing fairy tale creatures. There's a magic bunny. There's a fairy.
Well, good, because
my wife has
had that on the family movie night list for quite a while.
Oh, Jack Frost. Okay. So it involves Jack Frost. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, we'll get to it.
Okay. How about, are you ready to get to some real news?
Roll it.
Okay.
Yes, friends, we are starting off under the radar.
Under the radar.
Out of the sun.
Under the radar.
The new Steve Jobs movie has been cast. And some plot details have been shared.
Yes!
Now, okay, first of all, there was actually a new news article posted today. But we'll get to that at the end of the segment.
All right.
This cast list, however, was released last week. And I guess because Michael and I were both so caught up in the Super Bowl, we overlooked it. The Latino Review released a picture of Michael Fassbender portraying Apple co-founder Steve Jobs. And if you like us on Facebook and or follow us on Twitter, you would already know that. That was earlier this week. However, apparently the rest of the major cast roles have been filled out as well. Seth Rogen, now you know Seth Rogen.
Yes.
Will play Apple's other guy, co-founder.
Not other guy, the Woz. Come on.
Steve Wozniak.
Yes.
But okay, now I say the other guy sarcastically because I know.
Everybody loves Woz.
Okay, there you go.
Especially David Gaddy and I.
Kate Winslet will play former marketing chief Joanna Hoffman.
Just because they said we need to get Kate Winslet in this film somehow. What?
I guess so. Okay. I don't know. And then Jeff Daniels?
What?
Will play former Apple CEO John Sculley.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
He's now, the one that got Steve Jobs fired.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Well, now, from his own company.
Now, when we last spoke about this movie back in episode of...
when we last talked about this movie.
It was 33. It was with Braveheart.
Okay. Part of our Heart series.
Yeah. The film didn't have a director. Well, now it does.
Oh, okay.
Danny Boyle, director of Slumdog Millionaire. We need to add that one on the list.
Really? I don't even like the name.
We'll talk about it later. The Beach, that old Leo DiCaprio movie. And then 127 Hours. Do you remember that one?
Nope. Does that have anything to do with Dalmatians?
No.
Okay.
No, there's 101.
I know that one.
Anyway, he's in charge of directing the cast through Aaron Sorkin's script.
All right.
Now, the film will not be a traditional biopic. Instead, the story will focus on the backstage setting of three different product launch presentations.
Oh!
Yes.
Okay, so we got the Apple II, Apple II, when, iPod, and iPhone.
Well, actually, Michael, due to conflicting reports.
Oh.
Because I always like to double check other sources.
Right.
And hey, other sources, good reporter. Well, they each are reporting different specific events that the script is going to focus on.
All right.
Now, back in 2012, Hollywood Reporter reported that it would revolve around the first Macintosh computer.
Okay.
And then the next.
Yes.
And then the iPod.
Okay, so the next is when Steve Jobs got fired from his company.
Yeah.
He went and created Next.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got involved in Pixar, all kinds of good. Okay, I'm looking forward to this.
Okay. Now that was 2 years ago. Then again, other reports are reporting different things, so that's not finalized yet, at least not through us.
All right.
One thing that is certain, though,
huh,
and this is the news bit that came out yesterday/this morning.
Yes.
We will see the fruits of these labors on the newly announced release date of October 9th, 2015.
Wow.
Well, that's just as fascinating as the first 89 times you told me that.
I didn't tell you that.
You don't remember?
No. because earlier it was slated for a release next year, like next January or next March.
I've been dying to use that sound clip. That drop.
Michael.
Boom. Empire Online. Stargate remake. Because Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. In the why not category of movie making news, last year, the rumor that the Stargate remake moved closer to reality when the news surfaced that Roland Emmerich and Dean Devlin were looking to once again step through the Galactic Gate for a potential new trilogy that would expound on the perfectly good original story starring the great James Ultron Spader and Kurt Russell. The news is that Nicholas Wright and James A. Woods have been hired to write the script. The relatively unknown writers were brought on after rewriting the Independence Day sequel. No word on what the storyline includes, but we will get to see the duo's writing chops when Independence Day hits theaters in the current magic year of 2016, which of course makes this more of an Independence Day story than Stargate.
Oh, I see what you did there. Now, Michael, were you going to rant on something?
I, Remakes. We're going to talk about a remake coming up in the Facebook rundown.
Do you want to save it for then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do that. Move on.
Well, this week in home entertainment.
Yeah.
Look what's up. Nightcrawler.
Oh, I know you're going to want to put that on the list.
Yes.
Okay.
Nightcrawler, we've already talked about. Check out the Monday movie review.
And we talked about it also on our year-end top 10.
That's right. We
recap
did, yes. Yeah.
Episode.
Yes.
So look for that. That was episode number 39. Mm-hmm. It made Brendan's top 5 movies of the year to share the gospel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next up, Kill the Messenger.
Ooh.
With Jeremy Renner.
Yes.
Yes.
I want that on the list too, just so I can
see it. Did you see it? Oh, you haven't seen it yet.
No.
Okay.
Have you?
No. Okay. I want to, though. Yeah. I want to. Next is Rosewater.
I forgot what.
No, Rosewater.
Yeah, I forgot what that was about.
That is the that's the Jon Stewart written and directed film.
Oh, okay.
of the Canadian reporter who went to the Middle East and got caught up and then eventually
you
arrested.
You said that was good.
No, I haven't.
Oh, you
seen
said it
yet.
Was reported to be good.
I said it was reported to be good. Yeah, I still want to see it though.
Okay.
And then finally, Predestination.
What?
Exactly. Now this is an independent film. Starring Ethan Hawke.
Yeah.
And it revolves.
John Calvin?
Sorry. We left Calvinism in the discussion points.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, this revolves around time travel. He plays a temporal ranger.
I love anything that's time travel.
See, okay. Well, this is what, of course, it goes into, you know, where we might need to be at certain points, whether we have no choice in getting there or not.
Yeah.
Or we do have choice. You know, that's what it's basically about. But I still want to see it because it looks pretty good.
All right. Hey, now it's time for a quick rundown of the articles posted on the Facebook page there, the Finding Christ in Cinema Facebook page, as a matter of fact, at facebook.com/Christ in Cinema.
Hey, we're live in the studio getting ready to talk Captain
America.
Don't
read that one.
Well, no, because I want to describe the picture. So in this picture, you'll notice that Michael is pointing to something just off camera, and I'm screaming. I got both hands up, and I'm screaming.
Yeah.
Actually, he's pointing to this huge, humongous spider.
Yes.
That's on the studio light.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as he pointed at it, I screamed like a little girl. And that's when he clicks the picture.
Babbling, bumbling band of baboons.
Hey, next up, could Bryan Cranston be the boss bad guy in Star Trek 3?
I don't know, could he?
Well, you go ahead and hit the rumor button on that.
Oh, that's a complete rumor.
Tickle little talk, a little tickle little talk, a little cheek, 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 talk a lot, tickle a little more.
With the only supportive evidence being that he has talked with the studio.
All right, well.
And even the studio itself has described the way they want this villain as Bryan Cranston-like.
Oh.
So he himself, as an actor, has been used as the description for this bad guy. Now, we don't know if it's going to be a completely new villain to the Star Trek universe, or it's going to be something that's in touch with the with continuity of the series beforehand.
Well, there was no continuity. This is a complete branch. This is anything that's being made now is in the alternate timeline that started at the beginning of the first film.
Well, see, I'm glad you told me that
because
I did not know.
Well, so anything goes. So I like to read comments and blogs and people saying, you know, Spock and Uhura weren't boyfriend and girlfriend. No, they weren't. But this is a completely different timeline.
Right.
That happened. If you watched the first film of the reboot, you would know. So,
well, there you go.
All right.
Now, there's a new trailer for The Lazarus Effect.
There's a couple of different movies about reanimating dead people that are coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember which one this is. Is this, do you know, did you read up on this one? There's one where they're doing an experiment on dogs and stuff or animals.
This is that one.
Okay.
They start off testing on dogs, but then one of the researchers,
the young lady,
she gets diagnosed with a terminal disease.
Yep.
So she injects it into herself. And
no, she dies, and they inject her.
Well, Michael, if you look at the picture...
Oh, then you're talking about a different... Oh, yeah, no.
Is that not her?
That's creepy.
Is that not her?
I don't think so. I don't know. But there's two movies like that. And you know what? It that makes for a good discussion. You know, sometime we ought to have a show, a special show, where we don't even review a movie. We talk about certain genres of movies and what they, you know, what it is about the filmmakers that they're trying to discover or trying to cope with. And this would be one. You know, there's two movies coming out about raising dead people.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that? And that's because, you know, if you have no belief in God, if you have no hope of an afterlife, you are dead as a dog. And I can't think of anything more terrible than that myself. So continue on.
All right. John Wick sequel is in the works. Parentheses, man, should have seen the first one.
Yeah.
Because like we were talking earlier, this movie is new.
Yeah.
It came out last fall.
Yeah.
And apparently got rave reviews all around. Best Keanu Reeves movie since The Matrix.
How many times does he say, whoa?
You know, I don't know. I didn't see it.
Whoa.
It's probably like
I need a sound clip.
Like 100 count. I don't know. So look forward to a John Wick sequel next up. Oh, this is good. Sir Ian McKellen.
Yeah!
As an aging Sherlock Holmes in this new clip. Not trailer, clip.
Okay. Now, is this the real Sherlock Holmes, or is this a revamped, modern, cell phone carrying Sherlock Holmes?
No, this is. Hey, first of all, nothing is wrong with the modern revamped.
Where's his
Holmes.
Deer stalker? Where's his?
What? Second of all, this follows the aging Sherlock Holmes in 1947.
Okay,
so that puts him in that timeline of the original Holmes. But the thing about this Sherlock Holmes is that he is finally dealing with the imminent loss of his mental capabilities.
Oh.
As he's getting older, he's dealing with that. And in the clip, he's discussing the whole plot of the film was based on a cold case that Holmes never solved. And in Ian McKellen's Sherlock Holmes, he is he's going through this case once more because he doesn't want it to remain unsolved.
Okay, I like it. I like it. What else?
Hey, it's Jordan Nagai's.
Yes!
Is that how you say that?
Yes, Nagai.
Jordan Nagai's birthday, he played Russell on Disney Pixar's Up, and we covered it on FCC 31. He was born in 2000 on February 5th, and he is 15 today.
Yeah, he's our favorite wilderness explorer. That was a fun episode. That was The Pearl of Great Price in Disney Pixar's Up. Go back and revisit that and wish him a happy birthday.
If you say so.
Okay.
Kevin Spacey is President Nixon.
Yeah. And who?
Michael Shannon's Elvis.
Well, look at that. That was breaking news today. And that's a photo from the set. And I'm going to be interested in seeing Kevin Spacey as Nixon. Michael Shannon, I think he's a fine actor. He was General Zod in Man of Steel. So we'll see.
Oh, that's who he is.
Yes.
Oh, that's going to be so cool.
He's a good actor. So, okay. But this is supposed to be a comedy. Okay, well, and it revolves around apparently the famous story of, you know, Elvis showed up at the White House. He's the only guy. Only Elvis can show up at the White House. Show up. They're like, knock, 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 knock. Who is it?
Hey, bro. It's the king of rock and roll. Hey, this is Elvis Presley. I didn't bring my mom.
Oh, come on in, Mr. Presley. Oh, it's the king.
It's that. Okay.
Oh, but he wanted to be instated as an honorary member of the FBI or something. So they did.
Yeah, Now, really quick, I want to think back to some other Richard Nixon portrayals and films.
Okay.
Most recently is John Cusack in The Butler.
I didn't see that.
You didn't see that one?
That's about that butler that like served at the White House for like generations?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And the way John Cusack portrays him in that, it's pretty funny.
Okay.
he's the swindler.
All right.
Let's be serious. He is the swindler. Next up, I'm a Real Boy.
I'm a real boy.
Live action Astro Boy in the works.
Yeah.
No.
Move on.
Okay. Hey, we're discussing Christian themes of Captain America. I don't know if you knew that or not.
We did. We already did that.
Oh, okay. So
we're done now.
Here's where your rant comes in, Michael. They're here.
Oh, please.
Again? Images from the Poltergeist reboot.
Why? Why, I ask you? I was just talking about this film the other day with my wife. Hey, because she can't stand scary movies. You ever seen Poltergeist? No! I wouldn't see that. That movie scared the tar out of me when that came out. I don't know. I haven't watched it since I was a little kid. I had no business watching it when I did. But that was a perfectly good film. Why do we... What is with Hollywood? I've mentioned this many times. They've run out of ideas. All these remakes that we're talking about, it is exemplified. Brendan, let's put it this way. Let's just get it down to brass tacks here. A couple episodes ago, we talked about Ben-Hur. Okay? That film was gigantic when it was originally made. It won 11 Academy Awards. So the question that I pose, and please, you know, explain to me how I could be wrong about this, Brendan, listeners out there, whoever. That movie won 11 Academy Awards.
Ben-Hur, not Poltergeist.
Right, Ben-Hur. Ben-Hur. How many Academy Awards do they anticipate that this remake is going to make? Okay, I submit to you, right off the bat, that it will be nominated. Definitely. It's going to be a spectacle.
It better be.
Okay. Yeah, it had better be. Do you think it'll come even close to winning 11 Academy Awards? When's the last time a movie has swept the Academy Awards? So the question is, You have a movie that already performs, and you say, let's remake that bad boy. If it doesn't make more 11 or more, what was the point? What was the point? How about this? Think up something new. There's a novel. Novel. It's even in the word. New.
Listeners and friends, this is the first time I've seen Michael so passionate about something not gospel related.
It won 11 Academy Awards.
He's red in the face. It's contrasting his white beard.
Hey!
He's got that vein thing happening on his forehead.
I've been dyeing my beard white to look like Gandalf. I just submit to you, Poltergeist, the first movie, was flawless. And they're wasting their time. They're giving millions of dollars to filmmakers that have no original ideas. Move on.
Hey, happy birthday to Warwick Davis.
Yeah!
He was born February 3rd. An actor who has made many of our favorite films that much better.
Yes.
Like Willow.
Willow.
You and idiot. Hey, Mr. Davis, we will see you in Star Wars 7.
Yes, he was Wicket, the little Ewok that got the lion's share of the screen time. He's Grip Hook, the goblin.
Yes, at Gringotts.
Yes, at Gringotts. And he's Professor Flitwick.
Yes.
Both of those Harry Potter. He was in the last Star Wars films that they made. I don't know what he did in those, and he's going to be in the upcoming.
I heard he waited a long time for that.
Remember
call.
When we listened? I wish I knew what episode that was. We listened to that video, played the audio on that. All right.
So, Michael, of all the hubbub over the Super Bowl, what movie trailers we might see? I will say that even though it wasn't released with the Super Bowl, it was actually released earlier that day. There is a new Avengers Age of Ultron TV spot that actually has new material.
Lots of it? Or 50-50 like the last one?
This was more like 65-35.
Oh, so if it's 65, then it's exciting.
I mean, hey, I'm just trying to work over here.
You know what? It's when you act like that and because you denigrated the last trailer, it really makes me, I mean.
It's stuff like this that gives me trust issues.
It just does.
And finally, folks.
Yeah.
Keep Hagrid actor Robbie Coltrane in your prayers. What happened?
They got real sick. Rushed to the hospital with some severe flu-like symptoms. I didn't follow up on what happened with that. But
keep him in your prayers.
All right.
That wraps it up.
Hey, and that was our quick rundown.
Boy, that sure was quick.
Have the articles posted on the Finding Christ in Cinema Facebook page. Join us over there at facebook.com/Christ in Cinema. No lightning rounds for anybody today. How about some listener participation, Brendan?
Yes.
Yeah, we do.
Okay. Well, yes, we actually do. Some very timely.
Well, we always ask what Christian themes did you find in this movie that we talked about today, Captain America, The Winter Soldier? Now, our original hope and vision of this show was that we would throw that out each week and we would get all kinds of responses for the next episode, you know, when we tell you what we're going to do next week here in just a moment, and that you would participate and help us produce the show. Now, it hasn't happened like we had hoped to, but this time it kind of got close to happening, and that was, again, hearing from patron Saint Ron of the Red Oaks via Twitter. He said, Captain America is a good example of persistence in his desire for the salvation of his old friend.
# keep sowing the seed.
Yes. And we did touch on Steve Rogers, the length that he went to save Bucky, so mm-hmm. much so that he sacrificed himself.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, great, great, great. Well, speaking of that, what are we going to be doing in the next week?
Well, if I could roar like this character, I would.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to practice it and give it to you next week.
Okay.
But we're going to be studying Godzilla.
Yeah, with your old pal.
Yes, with Brian Walter White Cranston.
I think that finally, Brendan, after next week, we will be able to say FCC's
very own Brian LBJ Cranston.
Because I have a feeling that he's brought up on every single episode of Finding Christ in Cinema.
Not every single
I think
episode.
Every single no, one. No, he may no. have even beaten out Seinfeld.
That's a bold statement. Now, I will say that Breaking Bad, I think, was my first. No, it was my second lightning round. Because the first one was The Last Temptation of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
That was my first lightning round. And then there was Breaking Bad.
Nice.
It was in that first five episodes. Next up is Godzilla.
Godzilla.
The new one. Yes. The new one.
Okay, I'm looking forward to watching it again. Oh, speaking of watching, friends, Finding Christ in Cinema is live in the GCT Network studio each Thursday, Lord willing, at around 3 p.m. Central Time. So you can join us for audio and video and especially the chat room using the chat and the players found at gctnetwork.com/live. Do you need to add to that? You're looking at I forgot something.
No, that was a yawn.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That was me doing my impression of you watching The Natural.
I bore the guy over here during the show here. Well, but
you're only Robert Redford. So.
And it only happens here on Finding Christ in Cinema. We're part of the Great Commission Transmission Network, using new media and social networking to equip and encourage you to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to everyone. To find out more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate. Get to our website at christincinema.com. You can get all the past episodes of the podcast, all of Brendan's Monday movie reviews. You can find the links to all of our social networks, including Instagram and Twitter, right there, christincinema.com. If you're old-fashioned, like Ron and I, and you just want to communicate via electronic mail, you can send those to FCC@gctnetwork.com.
You can call us up on the voice line at 507-407-GCTN. And if your hand's full of potatoes.
Potatoes.
And that number doesn't work for you, you can try
stuff like this that gives me trust issues.
You can try our other phone number at 507-407-4286.
All right.
Now, let's say you want to listen to the podcast.
Uh-huh.
But you don't want to put up with the sad, strange little man.
Oh, no.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Without being too ghastly.
Oh, no.
It's ghastly.
But not being so ghastly that you can't understand it.
I don't understand.
You can listen to us on iTunes, listen to us on Stitcher, and listen to us on TuneIn Radio. Just search the stores for Finding Christ in Cinema.
Well, that's just as fascinating as the first 89 times you told me that.
And for all the shows that we produce here at the Great Commission Transmission Network, including our good brothers over there in Texas, the Theonauts. Oh, you want to make sure you hear their last episode. Does God hate people? Get over to gctnetwork.com. Brendan Taylor.com. Brendan Taylor, anything else?
Hey, somebody said that you sounded like an owl.
Who?
Inconceivable.
And that is a wrap.
Fruitwater took one lesson of simply walking to Mordor.
What a bunch of hippy dippy baloney.
Well mannered frivolity.
Yeah, can't do it.
Come on, stop trying to hit me and hit me.
You know I hate to be.
I'm a miracle.
There's no such thing as magic.
It's a man out! A man out!
It's stuff like this that gives me trust issues.
Well, that's just as fascinating as the first 89 times you told me
that. Stuff like this that gives me trust issues.
Well, that's just as fascinating as the first 89 times you told me that.
It's stuff like this that gives me trust issues.
Well, that's just as fascinating as the first 89 times you told me that.
Potatoes.
You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission. This is your Great Commission transmission.
At GCTNetwork.com.
This is your Great Commission transmission. This is your Great Commission transmission.